Good morning, Delaware's Christian Church. How's it going? You guys doing good? I am so cold that you don't believe this, right? I have my jacket on, so I hope you forgive me for that, because I am freezing. I'm shivering. That's what happens when it's cold outside with the Brazilian blood. You're just cold all the time. Welcome, though, and I'd love to continue the conversation we have had for the last few, couple of weeks. On this sermon, a little mini-series that's called What We Will Become. What we will become is up to you and I. What God is doing in this place, it is not up to God only. It is also up to His people to join in on what He's doing and to participate on what He's going to do with us. So last week, we talked a little bit about what God has done in the midst of us for the past couple of years, right? We talked about, I gave you an infogram that you still can have it today if you'd like to. Just let us know. We talked about the life of the church, how we have grown 44%, and how we have, a lot of people has come to know Jesus through what's going on in this place. And we talked about baptism, membership. We talked about some of the challenges that we have, the financial challenge. One of the challenges that I did not talk about with you was the fact that our building is not fitting to who we are becoming and what God is going to continue to do in our lives. I gave you all the numbers from the events that we have had and how God has really honored His own name in the midst of His people right here at Delaware Christian. Today I want to continue on that and to tell you really that sometimes you feel alone, but you are not. We are surrounded by an army of witnesses. We are surrounded by people, and they have run the race of faith before us, and they have finished well, and it is now our turn. It's your turn. It's my turn to run the race well. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says this. So, since we stand surrounded by all those who have gone before us, I think the author of Hebrews are warning us of something that is important for you and I to understand. That for you to be here today and to call yourself followers of Jesus, for you to be in this specific sanctuary and to be reading the Word of God and to be growing in your faith and your walk with Jesus, people have done that before you. For centuries, people have devoted themselves to the Christian faith to allow you and I to be called Christians today. That's what he's saying, that since we stand surrounded by all those who have gone before us, an enormous cloud of witness, let us drop every extra weight, every sin that clings to us and slackens our pace, and let us run with endurance the long race set before us. Now, stay focused on Jesus, who designed and perfected our faith. He endured the cross and ignored the shame of that death because he focused on the joy that was set before him. And now he's seated beside God on the throne, a place of honor. See, here's the thing. Before we were here at Delaware Christian Church, there was people who came before us and endured their race, and they did what that first aspect of this verse say. Now, stay focused on Jesus. Because people have focused on Jesus in this place, it allows us to be here today. Delaware Christian Church, as I said last week, has been around for 40 years. And for 40 years, people have devoted their time, of the talents, so that you and I would be here today learning and growing in our faith. Isn't that cool? Isn't that awesome? So I would like to invite right here to the stage a couple that have been here for a few years. They're going to tell you all about it. But as they come forward, let me tell you a story about what we do here, why we do the things that we do. About a few weeks ago, Jax Burton got baptized. You remember her? She's right here in the midst. Can you stand up, Jax? I know it's a little bit intimidating to do that, but Jax, did you see her? Let me tell you a little bit of story. You can sit down, Jax. Thanks. Let me summarize her story, and she gave me permission to do this. A few years ago, she moved to Delaware, and prior to the process of moving here, she her husband left her. She was found herself alone, and one of those days, she was outside of the house crying, desperate, asking God, just praying, desperate, right? And one of the people that comes to the, one of the couples that come to the La Roca Church, they're part of us, saw her and say, "What's going on in your life?" And she's like, "I'm struggling." And Dar Jackson came alongside her and talked to her about coming to Delaware Christian Church. "You need to come to my church. God is doing some amazing things there. You got to come there." And Jackson was like, "Okay, I'll do it." So she came to church. The first time she walked in through those doors, she saw someone that she knew already. Her name is Rachel Kirkham. As she saw Rachel, they start crying and they connected right away. And her journey with Jesus started. She gave her life to Jesus. She got baptized a few weeks ago. And you won't believe this. She has started a book club in her work with people who not necessarily go to church to teach them about Jesus. Isn't that cool? Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 and 20 says this. "I'm here speaking with all the authority of God who has commanded me to give you this commission." This is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he's saying, go out and make disciples in all the nations, ceremonially washing them through baptism in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then disciple them. Form them in the practice and the posture that I have taught you and showed you. And showed them how to follow the commands I have laid down for you, and I'll be with you day after day to the end of the age. That's the reason why we do what we do at Delaware Christian Church. To see Matthew 28, 16 and 20 being realized in the life, in my life, in your life, in what we do here. And Jax is a great example of that. But you know what is another great example of that? People have gone before us doing what Jesus has taught us to do. So I'll let them introduce themselves.
Kim Berwanger.
Dave Berwanger.
How long have you guys been at Delaware Christian Church? And like, tell a little bit about what's going on. Go ahead.
A long time. Kim and I were talking about it a couple of weeks ago, and probably this will be our 27th year going in Delaware Christian Church. We started out over in the where the offices are at, and that was where we had our worship service. The stage over there was probably about the size of those steps, but there was four of us up there. But and then we grew and grew and kept growing, and the Coopers, Kathy Bartholomucci, and you can't say my last name. I bet you can't say her last name.
I know. One of the things about Dave and Kim is that I can't say their last name. I want to say Ben Wanger or something like that, and it is not. So I just called them Dave and Kim right there. There you go.
I was just talking to Marianne Parker in the nursery, and she's been here since 87.
Oh, wow.
So she's been here a long time, too.
A long time, too, yeah. So here's the thing. One of the things that we forget is that there are people who have come before us and gives us the opportunity to be here today. People have invested of their resources, of their time, and of their talent in order to see God expanding his kingdom. And here we find ourselves today, 20-plus years later, being faithful to what God is doing and seeing the church grow. In which ministry have you guys served here at the Delaware Christian Church?
VBS, about 25 years of those.
Wow, that's cool.
Fall festivals, Tuesday morning women's ministry. I was one of the beginning starters of that. Twos and threes, nursery.
Oh, wow, that's good.
Helping Hands ministry.
You have been part of a little bit of everything that what God has done in this place, right? What about you, Dave?
A little bit.
Yeah, Kim and I, we have servant heart. We love to serve, and it's just a natural thing for us to want to be involved and to want to serve. And, you know, I served as a deacon for probably 6-8 years, and the chair ministry, that's probably my passion. When we built this building, I got to order the new chairs and everything, and we started out, there was a group of us, probably 150 chairs a week, but there was four of us, and we used to do it on Saturday morning. We'd come in and set the chairs up, and then it grew, and I had the idea of teams. And then that grew into what you see today as the guys who do the communion and the host ministry and that type of thing. And
which is so cool to see it. So you start with four people, you know, two, three, four people. And now we have like 30 people involved, more or less, five teams involved, guys who comes here on a Sunday morning, before you get here and put the chairs up and vacuum the floor and put communions. I mean, it is a great, a lot of things happen in order for us to worship on a Sunday morning, right? And thank you for all, starting all that. And
well, I love these chairs, and I've always said that someday I want to be buried in one of these chairs. Set me up in one of the chairs. I've spent so much time with them.
We can arrange that. I'm sure we can get you one of those chairs to sit down for the rest of your life in there. I'm sure we can do that. So what was one of the most memorable times you had here at Delaware Christian Church?
Probably, I'd have to say we used to have a huge Easter program with lights and everything. It was a big ordeal. We had that. That was special. Drew in a lot of folks, who non-Christians from the community. But I have to talk about the Upward basketball program, and probably had one of the most impacts in this church with the community outside, bringing in non-Christians. This was a thing that got started back in 2002, and I believe Craig Fidalch and Beth and the Reeds, Chris and Tracy Reed, the Misers and the Streeds, and there was a whole group of folks that started this thing. And the preparation was absolutely amazing. I don't know how many endless hours that Craig and all those folks put together to get the kids to come in and the scheduling. And so the preparation before all this started was absolutely amazing what they did. But
we have some pictures over there for you guys. Look at Kim right there.
80s hair.
But the effect that this had, just some numbers are staggering. We started out with about 110 kids in 2002, and then it grew to where we had two separate churches we had to use. We outgrew this building. We had to take the older kids over to another church where they had an actual basketball floor. But we ended up anywhere from 380 to 400 kids at the end of this program. Wow. And that's just kids. That wasn't their parents that came through these doors and the lives that we touched. It was an amazing thing to see, and we refereed, and this room on Saturdays from, I don't know what time Craig and those folks got here, but I would come in and referee around 7:30 or so, and we would be here all day, and we had two courts going, and they had a big tunnel. The kids would run out.
Smoke
and music, and it was just a great thing.
That's cool.
It was, and it went all day long, and every
that's
Saturday.
That's what my wife does when I come in the house.
Yeah. Oh.
And smoke and music, and I walk in. Yeah.
But it transformed into this amazing thing, and the lives that were touched and the growth of the church because of that was amazing. And I was serving on city council at the time as a city councilman, and Gary Milner, who was the head of Parks and Recreation for the city, after our second year, he came to me and he said, Dave, he said, what are you guys doing over there? He said, my numbers for city rec league basketball have dropped. And I think one year they didn't even have it because we were drawing in so many folks. It was just incredible.
Dave, we talked about this on the first service, and I need to say it again. What it takes to be that kind of church again, the kind of church that impacts our community, where we are shutting down programs because we are supplying that need. I want to go back and be that kind of church that, like, the community says, like, hey, if that is a need, if that's what's going on, go to Delaware Christian Church. They will take care of it. I want to go back to be that kind of church that is impacting this community for Jesus. One thing that you said, just so you know, we didn't rehearse this. I just sent them the questions, and then we did a first service, and now we're doing it again. So there's kind of background here. But one of the things you said on first service was that on that first picture with Kim and all the girls, number 41, who was number 41?
That was my lovely daughter, our lovely daughter.
Yeah. He claims the whole thing. Did you hear that? And another thing you said about that was, what is that, not only coaching her in basketball, what else happened at Delaware Christian Church right over here that you said?
That was one of the special things. I had the honor and the privilege to baptize that little thing many years ago right here in the baptismal. That was pretty special.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is so awesome about the church and what we do and all the years of endurance and faithfulness that you guys have put on here, all the talent, the resources, the finances, resources, and your gifts and ability, is that people are coming to know Jesus, our own family and those around us. And I think that put in perspective a little bit why we do the things we do, right?
Yes.
Another question. What was the most challenging time for the Delaware Christian Church since you guys have been here for a little while? What has been the most challenging time?
Well, we talked about first service, and I'm going to flip-flop here on you, but probably one of the most challenging was this building. Mm-hmm. And when we built this building and the time and the effort and all the thought and the finances and the process that went in to planning this building and what we were going to do. And a lot of folks today don't realize, but a lot of what you see here today was done through a lot of blood, sweat, and tears through the members of this church. All the painting, a lot of the prep work and everything was we did ourselves. We didn't have outside contractors come in and do it. So there was a lot of time put into this building and a lot of effort and a lot of work, many Saturdays all day. And
wow, that's awesome.
And I never want to paint another one of those blocks over there. They're not easy to paint.
No. And you're talking about that, that's funny because, and even we talked to them for service last week and on our second service as we are full today, Few families came to me and said, Pastor Sam, what are we going to do with those foyers? We're packed. We're rubbing elbow with each other. Like, how can we relieve that? And I was like, I don't think we're going to relieve that. I think we're going to be rubbing butt to butt one of these days, right? Because God continued to increase. But I foresee in the future, we continue to grow this building to facilitate for families and us to worship Jesus in a way that is comparable, but also allowing for more people to be part of what God is doing here. Yeah.
And the difficult thing we went through, Kim was at work that day, but we had a minister who we loved, and he was just a wonderful person. But I remember sitting over here one Sunday morning, and I turned around, and I saw all the elders and him in the back room, and it didn't look good. I had a bad feeling, and he came up and admitted and asked for forgiveness. He had had an affair, and the great thing about the story, it was a horrible thing, but he ended up asking forgiveness. His wife forgave him. They stayed together. He got out of the ministry for several years, but he since got back in, and he sought counseling, and it was tragic, but it turned out to be good.
I was working that day in the emergency room, and my family came to see me, and there were automatic doors, and the doors opened, and all three of them were sobbing. I thought someone had died. I was so upset, and they told me what happened, and we were just heartbroken, but we decided to stay and plug through it and see where God led us from there.
And that story, I love that story because it tells you of your faithfulness and endurance to the church. Right, so many of us, when things are going well, we are excited and we are happy, and then we have a little bump in the road, and we give up, right? We give up. That goes in life, that goes in church life, we give up. But not you guys. You guys continue to invest in this place and continue to see it through it. And so the question is, what do you think of the present and the future? You have been here for a while. You have invested a lot. Tell me, what is your feeling on the present and the future?
We're excited. We're excited about the future. We're excited about the things that are happening at DCC. We're looking forward to more exciting things happening, bringing more people to Christ. We're really happy where we're at right now.
Thank you. Praise be to God.
Yeah, it's amazing to watch. You know, what happened here a year or so ago, thank the Lord, we weren't here for that day, but I'm glad about that.
Me too.
But what transformed after that and watch what God did to the church and after that and what he's done with the folks that went a different direction, they're starting to grow again and do things. So God has his plans, and it's just amazing. When we built this building, we also had a design put together to have an addition put on this building that goes out to the front for a bigger sanctuary. And so I think maybe it's time for a little more blood, sweat, and tears. And
who knows? I'm glad you're saying it, not me. Right?
I'll let you paint the blocks.
I will paint the blocks. That's one thing I can't build, but I can paint. That's for sure. But one of the reasons. Thank you for this. One of the reasons I brought you here for you to know this, that God has brought you here, has brought me here for something great. And to join with Dave and Kim on what they have done, and we are here partially for the work they have done. So for that, I'm thankful. Aren't you thankful for their lives? Aren't you? Thank you. Let me put a little bit in perspective of what why they do what they have done so far and why we are here today. I have a video that I'll put in perspective for you.
Hi, I'm Adam Mord. I am the executive director for What If It Was True, WIIWT. We're an organization committed to sharing the gospel with all 2.5 million residents in the city of Columbus. Our secondary mission is to engage a united church to reach the city. What I want to share with you today are statistics about church, church attendance, and what's happening in the city of Columbus. So I've combined two sets of data. I've combined our data with research done by the Barna Group. So Barna has been providing church research for the past 30 years. They've conducted over 1 million interviews. And we have been studying Columbus extensively for about 1.5 years now. And we found a lot of information that correlates with what the Barna Group says, and just wanted to share that information. So we looked at a report from 2015 to 2018. Our city grew about 2% a year for the past several years. So if we look at church attendance from 2015 to 2018, we would expect, if we were keeping up with population growth, for that to increase about 6%. Now, given the fact that 35% of our city does not have a personal relationship with Jesus, we would hope that that growth rate among church attendance would be 10% or higher. When we look at the reports, we've actually lost 3% in church attendance for this 3-year period. That's almost 100,000 people that attended church at one point that don't attend church anymore. And our growth rate is going to continue to be high. So we need to do something about this. We need to reverse the trend. Now, as an organization, we researched and found that there are about 1,000 churches, a little more than 1,000 evangelical churches in the Columbus area. We verified those so that they're active, that there are participants, and that they still meet. A lot of churches have been closed down, and there's a lot of new church plants happening every year. So when you're researching 1,000, you can see the whole spectrum from healthy to unhealthy. And if we look at this, we have about 100 incredible visitor-friendly churches, plus about 120 churches that are doing a really good job. So we've got about 220 churches in the Columbus area that we can be proud of, that we can say, yes, they are an example of how a church can be run, and we can send people there for that. So this is the number of churches. We have a church attendance drop. If we look at the regularity of church attendees, there are 52% of our population that attends church monthly or more frequently. So that's half of the population that doesn't find enough value in a church to attend on a regular basis. But we want to dig into a little bit more on the statistics for those that do attend church, because this is what I found a little bit disturbing. 75% could not identify the Great Commission. A full 50% had never heard of it before. And these are of our church attendees. 52% of these don't believe that they should evangelize. They don't feel like they have a personal responsibility to evangelize. 1/3 of them don't think the Bible is actually accurate, that there are inaccuracies in the Bible. And 40% think that Jesus sinned at some point in his life. Now, we know as church leaders that these are fundamentals for Christianity. If any of these are not true, then Christianity doesn't exist. So we've got a great opportunity here to teach all of the people in Columbus what the Great Commission is, our responsibility to evangelize, that the Bible is accurate, and that Jesus led a sinless life. Another thing is that we have a generation of millennials that are represented about 50% of their population in the attendance of the churches. If we look at boomers, they're represented about 100% of what they should be. Millennials are less than half. So we've got declining population, a doctrinal base that's not very strong, and then a generation that is only about half as represented as they need to be. So in our area, in Columbus, we've got 1 million people that aren't saved, just under 1 million. We've got 300,000 that have never heard the gospel. That is a huge number. I've gone on a number of missions trips across around the world, from Central America to completely unreached people groups in Asia. We have a missions field in our backyard of people that we can reach. And then also the millennials being underrepresented. Now, this can seem scary. In looking and reviewing all of the data, here are a couple of things, a couple of the takeaways that we found that we should all consider deeply as leaders. Number one, that our churches aren't convincingly teaching basic gospel doctrine. So that we need to tick up the doctrinal delivery in our churches. The second thing is, because there is a 3% decline in attendance, the churches that are growing are growth via death. So it's cannibalizing from other churches that are already in existence. So if we're growing at 10, 20, 30%, it's primary growth are from churches, other churches in the area. And I can think back the last 20, 30 years in Columbus and some of the churches that were big when I was in my 20s, and they're not around anymore. They just don't exist. And we've got a bunch of church plants, even in the past 5, 10 years, that have grown up really quickly. And they're growing from primarily from the death of other churches. The last is that there's a very little focus on evangelism outside of the walls of the church. And this, obviously the root cause for this is 52% of people that are attending church don't think it's their personal mission to evangelize. But we've also found that, you know, you as pastors, it's really hard to get stuff going outside of the church walls. You've got your hands full with running the ministries on a week-to-week basis, your weekend services, and that's really tough. And then we also have this latest generation of unchurched people. And that's a scary trend, because if we look at the amount of unchurched cities that are popping up in the U.S., starting in New England, also on the West Coast, we don't need that to transition to the Midwest. We don't need Ohio to become one of those statistics as well. So what I see here is a great opportunity for us, as what if it was true, to partner with you as pastors on getting into your community. There are 100 zip codes in the 7-county area. So if we look at the 220 healthy churches, that means we've got about 2 churches per zip code. And if we look at, you know, there's 2.5 million people, 2.1 million in the 7 counties. That means we've got about 10,000 people per church that need to be represented. Now, there are very few churches in Columbus that can handle 10,000 people. But that is what we need to grow our churches, to grow the number of our churches, and get people reached. The good news is we do have 220 churches that we can start with, spread out all over our city, established pastors, strong leader, great congregations. And what I would challenge you, pastor, is could you partner with us? Would you partner with us to share with your congregation about the importance of the Great Commission?
I show you this video because it is important for you to understand what we do here. Delaware Christian Church is not about you and me only. It's also about those in our communities who needs to know about Jesus. There is 1 million people in the Columbus area, which we are included, that does not know of Jesus, or does not go to church. 300,000 does not know Jesus whatsoever. So what happens at Delaware Christian Church is important. Who will become will determine how many people will be served, loved, and impacted by Jesus in this community. Listen, let me tell you this. No one else is coming. Jesus has sent you and I to love, to serve, and to impact the community in which we live. But it starts with your and my devotion, our commitment and love to the ministry that happens at Delaware Christian Church. If you don't partner with us in participating in the ministries of Delaware Christian Church, we'll be unable to reach more people for Jesus. You have been given time, you have been given talent, you have been given by God resources to be invested here in Delaware Christian Church. And if you don't partner with us, we won't be able to continue to expand the kingdom of God right here in Delaware County. want to build something meaningful. Listen, I promise you that this coming year, we're going to learn about marriages. We're going to get our marriages together. We're going to learn about our finances. We're going to learn about how to behave well and how to have good relationships. We're going to experience God together. I want you for us to be doctrinally strong. So we're going to learn about the Bible. I promise you for the years to come that we're going to be the kind of church that are doctrinally strong, who believes in the Bible, who experiences God and is empowered by His Holy Spirit. I watched that video and I asked the question, are we among the 200 churches, 220 churches that are healthy? Do you think that? Do we all believe in the tenets of the Christian faith? When I see that and I see and I hear that people in the church believe that Jesus sinned, then I'm like, wow, we have a lot of work to do, not only within our walls, but also outside of our walls. Because there's a million people needing to know about Jesus. If the Bible is true, you know, I put it this way. If the Bible is true, you answer for yourself, because I'm not here to beat Jesus or the Bible into you, right? No, you make that answer. You answer. If the Bible is true, if John 3:16 is true, because God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son so that everybody who believes in Him would have eternal life. If that is true, if it is also true that those who does not believe in Jesus will not go to heaven, if those things are true, if the Bible is true, then we have a lot of work to do into reaching our community. Don't you think that? But I can't do it alone. The staff can't do it alone. The elders and the deacons, we can't do it alone. We need you to partner with us. We need you to walk on the step of Dave and Kim, investing of your time, of your talent, of your resources, so that we can reach the lost people right here at Delaware County and the surrounding areas of Columbus. I want to read once again Matthew 28, 16 and 20, which is the Great Commission. Jesus, speaking to the disciple, He says, I'm here speaking with all authority of God, who has commanded me to give you this commission. Go out, use of your talent, of your time, of your resources, and make disciples in all the nations, ceremonially washing them through baptism in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then disciple them. For them, form them in the practice and the postures that I have taught you, and show them how to follow the commands I have laid down for you, and I will be with you day after day into the end of the age. If you're right here at Delaware Christian Church today, and you have given your life to Jesus, you are promised eternal life. You are promised eternal life. But there are those outside of our walls who are not. So I want to become the church. I want to be the church that are welcoming, loving, the kind of church that people come and identify with, because there's no perfect people here, but there are loving and kind people, people who are faithful to Jesus. I grew up at church. My dad is a pastor, and for many years of my life, I rebel against God, and I rebel against the church because of the hypocrisy, because of the judgmental, because of all the things that was put on my shoulder that I knew I couldn't achieve. I don't want to be that kind of church where people walks in and is like, judge it right away. No, let's accept one another for who we are. God is working in your life. He's working in my life. He's working in our lives. And some of us, we are here in the journey with Jesus. Some of us are here. Some of us are somewhere in between. So let's not judge one another, but let's carry each other towards Jesus more, and more. I want to be a church that focuses on Jesus and don't focus on the sin of those around me. Don't point a finger at my sins, because there are many. But don't doubt my commitment to you, to Jesus, and to the church. I have a few statements here that you know year after year. You're going to hear me say this year after year after year on sermons like this. I have it up there for you. Imagine a church. I want you to imagine a church, okay? Bring the statement, Ethan. Imagine a church where everyone is welcome. Everyone, all right? Everyone. I don't care what color you are. I don't care anything. Welcome everyone. Accept and renewed, restored. Welcome everyone. Accepted and renewed, restored, no matter the gender, color, race, and nationality. All are given equal opportunity to pursue Jesus in worship. Imagine a church where the imperfect and the sinful finds God's forgiveness and are given the opportunity to join God in His kingdom work in Delaware. I want you to imagine a church where imperfect people find their God-given purpose of impact and influence in the world. I want you to imagine a church where the Spirit of God and grace flow freely in the life of every member. Imagine a church where experiencing God's power is not a concept, but a reality, and it is more important than personal and individual gain. Imagine a church where the supernatural power of God is not talked about, but experienced through prayer. The blind see, the sick are healed, the unemployed find jobs, the depressed find joy and hope, and the dead come back to life. Imagine a church where prayer is not something people do, but people's life support. Imagine a church where prayer moves people and God closer and closer and closer together to accomplish God's mission in Delaware. Imagine a church where broken hearts are put back together, marriages are renovated, relationships are restored, people are given second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh chances. Imagine a church where people seek holiness and hate sin. Imagine a church where redemption moves from concept to reality of life on earth. Imagine a church where there's no gossip, no cliques, no preferred people, but transparency, honesty, sincerity, and ministry is for the people, not for specific individuals or groups. Imagine a church where people are passionate for God's word, devoted to prayer and truth in worship. That's the kind of church we are trying to become here at Delaware Christian Church. What we will become, it will determine on you and how you live your life in here. What we will become will determine that if you're passionate for Jesus and to telling people about Jesus. It is not upon only me and the staff and the elders, it's upon us together to reach this community and the culture and the kind of church we'll become. It is not based in me, it is based on us. What kind of church we will become? It is up to you and I. But we can't do it alone. We need you to partner with us in bringing people to know Jesus. And let me tell you this, my life is only complete when I walk life with you. We were meant for community. We were meant for one another. So it makes no sense to judge, but to accept and to walk with Jesus together and to see our lives being transformed. In Jesus' name. I can't wait to see what Jesus is going to do with us in Delaware. And I can't wait to see what God's going to do in your life right here in this place. Let me pray. Jesus, there's so much I want to say because I'm so passionate about your work and what you have for us as your people. You have died on the cross of Calvary to set us free from the sins that hold us back. Father, you have died on the cross so the chains that hold us back would be broken. You have accepted us as we are, loved on us, and you have plans of transformations for the future. So let us accept the work of God in our own lives so that we can proclaim of your goodness to those in our community that does not know you. Father, help us to remember that Delaware Christian Church is not only for us, but also for those who are lost and does not know of you that lives in our community. Help us to have the guts to tactically and lovely tell them about the love of Jesus. It's in your holy name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen.